In our meditation today, we consider, as we follow Jesus to his cross under our own cross, an aspect of the cross that he shares with us and that we share with him. The cross always brings rejection. And to the surprise of many, there is glory hidden in that rejection. The cross brings rejection, as you heard last week, from those who sort of understood and embraced Jesus first. Today we see that it brings rejection from a whole different group, from the world. The world doesn't understand the cross, nor does it want to. Listen to a portion of St. John's record of Jesus' trial before the world in the court of the Roman governor, Pontius Pilate. Pilate went back into the praetorium and summoned Jesus. He asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" Jesus answered, "Are you saying this on your own, or did others tell you about me?" Pilate answered, "Am I a Jew? Your own people and chief priests handed you over to me. What have you done?" Jesus replied, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would fight so that I would not be handed over to the Jews. But now my kingdom is not from here." "You are a king then?" Pilate asked. Jesus answered, "I am, as you say, a king. For this reason I was born, and for this reason I came into the world, to testify to the truth. Everyone who belongs to the truth listens to my voice." "What is truth?" Pilate said to him. After he said this, he went out again to the Jews and told them, "I find no basis for a charge against him. But you have a custom that I released one prisoner to you at the Passover. So do you want me to release the king of the Jews for you?" Then they shouted back, "Not this man, but Barabbas." Then Pilate took Jesus and had him flogged. Have you seen a sharper contrast? On the one side is Jesus. He testifies that he is a king, that his kingdom is not of this world. He testifies that those on the side of truth listen to him. They hear him, listen to his word, trust, believe, and follow him. But as you look at Jesus, it's kind of pathetic, isn't it? He says he is a king, but his own people handed him over and screamed for his death. Jesus is born to be the king whose kingdom consists of those who love the truth, and yet no one defends the truth, no one defends him, no one speaks in his defense, no one follows. Jesus is the king, but those who should have been first to follow him choose Barabbas, the friend of murderers and thieves. They prefer him to the king of truth. Jesus is now in the hands of a Roman official. He's already been beaten by his own people and spit upon, and he'll soon suffer much worse at the hands of Roman soldiers. And so we look at Jesus and we think, but that's some king, some kingdom, some truth. And then on the other side is Pilate. He stands as a representative of all the kingdoms of the world, and as we are by nature. Pilate judges Jesus only with his eyes and his reason. And it may surprise us that Pilate, at first, wants to do justice, but more than justice, he is interested and loves his position and his convenience. So justice loses out. And Pilate is frustrated. Jesus is becoming a problem, so he hands him over to be flogged. He decides that the whole message Jesus is speaking is foolishness, is inconvenient. And then there's a mob forming outside, and that could be trouble. And Pilate doesn't see Jesus as a criminal. There's nothing that he's done that deserves punishment. But he orders Jesus to be flogged. A punishment so gruesome and painful, it often killed its victims. And soon after that, he's led out to be executed. But why such anger, such hostility, such violence against someone who seems so weak and frail, even foolish? It's all because Jesus speaks that one word to Pilate, truth. Jesus says he is the King of truth. He's come to testify to the truth, but Pilate wants nothing to do with the truth. He's already made up his mind. There really is no such thing as truth. There's only me, and there's only the moment. There is no truth. There's only my wants, my will, my ambition, my position, and my power. That's all the truth Pilate wants, and really that everyone else wants too. Pilate doesn't want to think that there's something or someone else, because if there is a truth beside me, I'll have to give up my single-minded devotion to me in favor of something or someone else. Now, would things have been different if Pilate listened instead of just rejecting Jesus? No, because the message of Jesus and his cross always brings hatred and hostility from the world. The truth that Jesus comes to give to the world is already evident in the Garden of Eden. The truth that human beings are totally depraved and corrupt and fallen in their devotion to self. The truth is that even in their best works, they offend God's justice and his holiness. On our best days, the best of us deserve nothing but hell forever. And that irritates and rubs us the wrong way, doesn't it? Even though the evidence is clear, when we look in the mirror of God's law, we say, well, I don't want to look in the mirror. Away with that truth, away with the King of truth. But there's more truth that the King of truth brings than the guilty verdict over us in our works. He comes primarily with the greatest message, that he alone is the only solution to our problem of sin and guilt. And how does he solve it? Does Jesus just tell you that, well, you know what, your sins don't matter that much anyways? Does he tell you to do your best and God will be satisfied? Well, if that was the case, Jesus never would have been flogged. Oh, and people want to think that no matter how bad they are, there's at least a little or enough good in them to save themselves. But the King of truth declares that he is the only solution to the problem of sin and guilt, to the penalty of death and hell that we deserve. The only solution is that he alone embraces all the sin and guilt of the world that he came to save. That he alone suffers the penalty of death and hell for us as our substitute. That salvation is a free gift, won by the crucified, given in the message of the crucified. But tragically, the truth of the gospel is even more despised than the truth of the law that condemns. Mankind is so corrupt that by nature we hate to be told that we're corrupt, and so great is our corruption that by nature we hate the truth more, that Jesus is the only solution to the punishment we deserve. You think people would stampede to Jesus who delivers from death and hell? Oh, you give people free money, you might die in the stampede. But free forgiveness, free heaven, free rescue from death and hell? Oh, no, 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 not that. Not that truth. Not the King of truth. Give us Barabbas. No, with Jesus, no, crucify him. Jesus and his cross are met with rejection and hostility from the world. But he's not the only one who must bear that cross. Those who follow to the cross follow under the cross. And the cross is the mark of the Christian. Each of you received it when you were baptized. You received the sign of the cross on the head and on the heart to mark you as a redeemed child of God, to be brought into his kingdom, ones who love and follow the truth. But wherever the King of Truth appears with his truth, there's going to be hostility, opposition, and even violence. And so as a cross has two beams, so the hostility to the cross has two beams. The first beam is the one we carry from our own nature. Pilate dismisses Jesus with the words, "What is truth?" Right? Pilate doesn't want an answer. He assumes there is no truth outside of himself. And that's what our own flesh says too. Don't tell me about right and wrong from God. There are only values. And so, no, you shouldn't commit adultery. But if my children or my friend or I live outside the confines of marriage the way that God wants, well, who's to judge? And you shouldn't hold grudges and gossip. But do you know what was done to me? Well, let me tell you. And you shouldn't cheat and steal. But the government wastes my money and businesses charge too much anyways. Besides, people cheat and steal for me. I just want what's coming my way. And then comes the confession in the liturgy. I, a poor, miserable sinner. And the flesh objects, no, I don't want to hear that. That's depressing. And then comes the message of forgiveness. All you need to bring to the cross of Christ is your despair, and you'll hear your Savior say, "I forgive you. I've washed your sins away in my blood. You are a restored child of God." But the flesh likes that even less. I work hard. I deserve what I get. And God is lucky that I believe in him at all, given the world we live in today. And if he doesn't treat me right, I can walk away. The first beam of the cross that we carry is the beam of our own sinful flesh that hates the truth of the law and despises the truth of the gospel. And the second is the hostility of the world, of all in our culture who can't stand Jesus and his truth. Our world wallows in vice and wears corruption as a badge of honor. The corrupt and perverted of the world declare the right to be corrupt and even demand that the rest of us respect them in their perversion. And they don't want to hear when you tell them the Bible says that those who live this way will go to hell. And don't even tell them that Jesus is the only solution and Savior, the only way to heaven. You tell them that, they'll say, no, away with you and away with the truth. If you want to believe that, that's fine. But don't tell me that this is the only truth that saves, the only truth that if it's rejected, dooms and damns those who reject it. That's the rejection, the cross of rejection that you face from the world. But where is the glory that's hidden in it? Well, we look to Jesus, the King, the one who brings the truth, and we see that the glory, his glory and the glory of the truth is hidden under the cross. He's despised and rejected by his own. His message provokes the hostility of the world he came to save. But we see how hidden the glory is and how glorious the truth is by his reaction when he is spurned and spit upon. He endures it. He takes it. Right? He doesn't send a lightning bolt down from heaven to give those in the crowd what they deserve. He doesn't form an earthquake under Pilate's feet to shake him awake. And why not? Would it have been better if there was a lightning bolt? Wouldn't the truth at least get a hearing if Pilate's feet were shaken? And wouldn't your own witness to the gospel, wouldn't it work better if every once in a while you could just send down a lightning bolt and strike down the wicked, at least some of them, to wake up the others? Or maybe the people would hear the gospel and believe it if every once in a while you could just perform a miraculous sign to get their attention. Would it work? Maybe. But Christ bore the cross of shame and humiliation. The time will come for his exaltation and for judgment, and that's in his hands, not ours. And so we journey under the cross as we go up to the cross, and we share the weakness and the humiliation of our Savior until the last day. And why? Because our glory, too, is hidden under the cross of rejection. Jesus wants his word working quietly in the hearts of people, creating faith when and where the Spirit works. And the word is going to get all the credit. Jesus wants you to know that it's a miracle that you believe. A miracle produced by the gospel message, not by some eventful thing, not by some miraculous sign, not by power or by merit or by work. It is the hidden power of the cross that works its way into those who follow under it. And yes, the world wants to get rid of the cross and its truth. And yet, it's still proclaimed by those following under the cross, and in some, it still produces precious fruit, creates faith even in someone like the thief who dies next to Jesus. So yes, it is the glory hidden in the message of salvation in Christ alone. It's that message that creates saints who lay their whole lives of sin and shame at the foot of Jesus' cross. And even in a hostile world, there is still heard the triumph song of thousands who rise up again, still under the cross, to sing the praises of the Lamb who has redeemed them by his blood. And that's where we find our joy. It's in the product of the glory hidden in the only Savior and the only truth. And you don't need the world's opinions. You don't need a public poll to wonder if you're right or not. We have the certainty in God's word. And all of the world that opposes the cross, opposes the truth, that will be done away with. But the word will never pass away. And so as you continue your journey to the cross and you are bearing yourself up under the cross, look to your Savior and see that hidden glory, his glory in that rejection that he faced and the rejection you face. And then find your joy as you live under that cross until one day that glory will be fulfilled for you in heaven. Amen. May the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.